The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the podcast Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Be My Guest is intimate and captivating conversations with new and old friends, David Remick, Jennifer Garner, Frank Bruni, and more. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Since the beginning of the year, we've been hearing from composer Michael Friedman about his campaign songs project. Friedman, who usually writes for Broadway and off-Broadway shows, has been traveling the country, interviewing voters about what's on their minds. And he takes those interviews and crafts his own unique kind of musical storytelling. The New Yorker Sarah Larson caught up with him one last time before Election Day Tuesday.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Sarah.
It's great to see you.
It's great to see you.
You're in the studio for the first time.
I know. We are finally face to face. It's wonderful.
For the final song of this project.
Yes.
The thing I love about this project, or one of the many things, is that by listening to people's dialogues or interviews as music, you weirdly focus so much on what they're actually saying, so much more on what they're actually saying. Let's talk about your last song a little bit.
Yeah, it's the title of it is Utopia, and it is a guy who lives between the East Coast and the West who works in the adult film industry, in the gay part of the adult film industry. And I was trying to think of what summed everything up. And oddly, this interview, which is in a funny way of someone who is far off of the center of most people's
experience
and political feelings, et cetera.
Yeah.
What I was interested in is the despair and the anger in this interview is about as intense as in any interview I've done. And at the same time, the kind of utopian vision of the future is more intense than in any interview I've done, which I think have been the sort of twin poles of this whole project, that people are in total despair.
Yeah.
And they are grasping at sort of utopian visions, which maybe is the recipe for fascism.
Utopian visions can be dangerous.
Almost always they are dangerous. And almost every song has a little glimpse of utopia at the end.
And also guns.
And of guns.
Should we hear your song?
Yeah. I grew up in Texas. You know, it's hot and it's humid, and it's a pretty conservative place. We were a solid Republican family. Mom's an evangelical Christian. Dad's Ukrainian Catholic. So, like, we were forced to go to church for 4 hours every Sunday. And Dad would lay in the backyard and sunbathe. When I came out, my father was very supportive. But my mother was not, and it took a long time. But you know, I still love my mother, and I've come to kind of feel compassion for the way she believes, but it's been a long process. I got into porn, cause you know, after college, I'd taken out ton of loans, and you know, there was no way on earth I could ever pay them back. But porn is a big corporation. They just need content, and I'm getting older. I'm not getting as much work, and it's not like, you know, there's a retirement plan. I mean, there are worse ways to make money. So my project to film sex in every state in America, well, the inspiration partly was practical. I'd been evicted out of my apartment that I'd lived in for 10 years, and I had all this stuff and really no money, so I gave away every single thing that I owned, like shoe socks, glasses, everything gone, and I'm homeless, why not make the best of it? Make content while seeing the country. You know, the best states to find people to have sex with? We're red states, you know, Kentucky, Oklahoma. But, you know, I think America's in really bad shape.
And it's getting to a point where it's no longer sustainable. It's gonna be incredibly difficult to maintain order, to maintain the kind of government we maintained in the past. And as someone on the left and the really far left, as an anarcho-socialist, I'd like to see the best possible version of the politics realized before it's too late. I mean, just to frame everything, you have to remember what happened with Bernie Sanders. The Democratic Party could have decided we have this candidate who's pretty progressive, who's pretty damn popular, and instead they decided to stop that process, and that is simply to say there's no hope. I'm so fed up. I'm like, anything we can do to destroy it's a good thing. So I'm honestly more on the side of the Donald Trump supporters. That's maybe the silver lining in this election cycle, that people get used to this authoritarian figure who might be the wrong kind, the Donald Trump kind, and see what that kind of rule is like. And you know, like, ask for a better version of it. 'Cause honestly, after this election, Michael, can you see a way forward that's positive? Michael, when you imagine the future, aren't there whole parts of the earth that are uninhabitable? Are we going to be this callous nation that lets people starve to death? But where are all of these people gonna go? Michael, can you see either party getting us through these crises? I'm probably not gonna vote, but one thing I think I have going on in my favor, at least at this point in my life, is this whole network of really beautiful human beings, people who will be there for me, who have been there for me, and yeah, that's my only hope. I don't think, you know, that it's a big hope, but like, that is salvation, I think, in the future. Like, for people to work less and travel the country and not have a lot of possessions. And, you know, eat good food and see natural wonders and incredible, like, cultures you didn't know existed. I mean, that's what we should all be doing. And so I think part of it is just to live out that fantasy and make it real for myself, and make it real for anyone else who wants to tag along. Like, if we can imagine a world like that, and can work towards a means to get there, and it's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful.
That was Michael Friedman singing his song, Utopia. Michael, that song was really beautiful. One of the things I thought about is that voting is so often more an emotional decision than it is a rational decision for a lot of people.
Yes, and especially this year, I think we've really seen how much that is true.
On the left and the right.
Yeah. Or in so many of the songs, how much everything comes down to family and to, in fact, mothers.
Yeah.
And
let's talk a little bit about that. There are some themes that have come up in just about every song.
Yeah. I mean, you said guns, which have come up in almost every song.
Weirdly,
And mothers having a huge emotional impact on sort of—
Yeah. So what's that all about?
I guess it turns out mothers have huge emotional impacts on all of our lives.
I had never thought of that.
But I think in the way that politics plays out in a kind of— reflection of your family, which I guess is also an emotional thing. And here we're watching an election in which there's sort of truly a daddy figure and truly a mommy figure, more than in most elections I've ever seen before. I mean, I guess we've never had a woman running for president, so that's a first. But sort of the family romance of American democracy and how much people do look at politics the way that they look at their family, or the way they hate their family, or the way they love their family, or the way they miss their family.
The songs tended to be really about the singers themselves and their lives and their concerns and all of the things that tie into politics, jobs, economics, education.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say the public school thing was the other, that everywhere I went, between the way public schools are getting shut down. But also, again, utopia versus despair. Every public school I went to, and I went to some very, quote, bad public schools, and there were these amazing students learning, and there were amazing teachers trying to help them learn, and often at in not the easiest circumstances, but there was a lot of hope and a lot of belief and a lot of – that was, to me, I came out of this year feeling like, go public schools, I actually have to admit.
Oh, good.
So
well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, that felt – I mean
– So you keep talking about dystopia, but there's a lot to feel good about.
Yeah, maybe. You try to find it.
How do you feel at the end of this project?
The thing I would say I came out of this year feeling was – on some level, the kids are all right. We might be the bad guys, and certainly maybe us and people older than us. But I really did feel like for all that we talk about millennials and the younger generation and technology and sexual culture and learning and everything, I felt like I met a lot of really thoughtful, really committed, really confused, and sometimes even really upset, but thoughtful. Young people, and I certainly wasn't seeking them out for that, so.
Well, that's excellent. Michael, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. It's been a pleasure all year.
That's Michael Friedman with Sarah Larson. Friedman performed his campaign songs at WNYC Jerome L. Green Performance Space last week, and you can hear the whole evening's program as a special episode of our podcast. Look for the New Yorker Radio Hour on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.